Last week I did part one, which was a matter of the heart. So what we're talking about is not taking up an offering, but it's talking about a lifestyle of generosity, of thinking about being a generous person with everything that I've been given. Because everyone, if you live in America, if you're in this room today, we've been given much. Half of the countries of the world today live under oppressive governments where if you're a Christian, you need to hide your Christianity. Just think about what responsibility that has for us to share our gospel, share the gospel. And the fact that if you slept in a bed last night with a roof over your head and you have a refrigerator with some food in it, and if you have some spare change in your pocket right now and you have hot and cold running water, you're in the top 3% of the world's population. Now, that is a huge onus or responsibility that we have to be stewards with that. So we're talking about a generous lifestyle. And this is going to be part two, and we're going to do something a little different today. We have a guest speaker by video. His name is Rick Warren. Have you ever heard of Rick Warren? If you haven't, he's a tremendous man of God. He's closely associated with the Association of Related Churches, the association that we belong to, very close friends with Chris Hodges, who is kind of our mentor in ministry in the Grow Network and what we've been learning. And we're going to watch a video. It's 1 year old, just so you can put the time frame when he talks about dates and stuff. If you know, he'll mention that his son committed suicide a year and a half ago. He'll mention that. But if you're not familiar with Rick Warren, he pastors Saddleback Church in California. He's a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, PhD in theology. And he started a church about 30 years ago in California, the premise of just giving life to people. And it's the second largest church in the United States right now. And he wrote a book a few years back called The Purpose-Driven Life. Have you ever heard of that? It was one of, if not the best-selling Christian book. It just flew off the charts. And so he's well-known for that. He's a tremendous man of God. And this message is a message that he shared at Church of the Highlands, our sister church in Birmingham, Alabama. And it's part of the Generous series, and excuse me, I looked at it, and I thought, well, I could teach it, but you know what? I couldn't do it any better than Rick Warren. And sometimes it's good just to get an impartation from another pastor that we love. He's a tremendous preacher, and I thought, I just want to sit back, and I think it would be good for us as a church to get ministered to. You know, we don't have to just be in our little, oh, we're the only ones that can do anything. We're part of a huge network of churches all over the world, and we're proud to call Rick Warren one of our friends of our ministry. You know, he's like-minded with souls. So he's going to be sharing the message. I've listened to this a couple times, and it's one of the most phenomenal messages I've ever heard. It's really going to help us understand how to live the Christian life, how to live a generous life. So it's going to start with the testimony from Church of the Highlands, like last week. It's going to show an example of how just being generous in your thinking with that little card, we have them in the lobby, called the Act of Kindness card, how it changed this young lady's life, and then it's going to go right into the message for Rick Warren. So go ahead and sit back, enjoy this, go ahead and roll that.
I moved to Birmingham a little over 4 years ago. When I was in Mobile, I had gotten into a partying lifestyle, and it was something that lasted longer than most people's partying lifestyles actually last. It was, you know, from college on through, you know, I was 28 years old and it was still going strong. I moved up here for a job, which I kind of desperately needed at the time. I left my friends and my family. It was kind of, you know, a big step for me. After a few months, I quickly found the party crowd again and things just kind of looked the same. In fact, they got a little worse. It was unintentional. I never said, wow, I really want to just drink my life away, but that's kind of what happened. There was one Saturday that I woke up and, I'm not exactly sure what I was doing the night before, but I'm sure it wasn't anything great. I remember driving to Chick-fil-A. I was driving down Highway 150 and I pulled up in the drive-thru, and before I even ordered, for some reason, I was in tears. I think I was carrying so much into that drive-thru that day. And I've tried to like wipe away my tears before I ordered. And as I pulled around to the window, I went to pay for my food, and the lady at the register said, "The person in front of you has paid for your meal and asked me to give you this." And she gave me an Acts of Kindness card from Church of the Highlands. I was like completely overwhelmed, a little shocked, a little confused about what was going on. And I just remember taking that card, and you know, at that moment, it was just that realization that there is a God that is really caring about you and loving you. And it came from a person who didn't know me and had no ulterior motive. They were just being kind. And it took about 6 months for me to get to Church of the Highlands. I remember Pastor Chris was teaching in the End Time series, and he asked at the end of a service if you wanted to surrender your life to Christ. And I'd heard that call before several times, but that day I knew something was going on and I raised my hand. And from that point on, you know, I did everything Church of the Highlands had to offer. We got into small groups and we started serving on the dream team. God has completely transformed my life. He has showed me that I'm a different person. Everything that I ever did in the past is gone. He's forgiven it. He gets all the credit for that. And I'm just so thankful for that person who was obedient and made that gesture, something so simple that had this lasting impact in me. You know, here I am, someone who just looked for the next glass of wine, really. And now I'm looking for the next opportunity to do something for him. And I just, you know, he's blessed me with family and with a new spiritual family. He's just completely done more than I ever thought could be done. And it all started with that one act of kindness. And I'm forever grateful for it.
Hello, Church of the Highlands. I'm Pastor Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, and pastor of your sister church out here on the West Coast, Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California. I love you so much, and I want to begin by first saying thank you, everybody, for your prayers during the last 6 months. As you know, about 6 months ago, my youngest son took his life. He had struggled with mental illness his entire life, and so many people prayed for us and wrote letters and sent sympathies, and your pastor came out to visit me. And I will always be grateful for Church of the Highlands and your great support during that grieving time that we've been going through. You know, when Pastor Chris told me that he was getting ready to do a wedding for his daughter, I said, "Now, you're not planning on preaching the next day, are you?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You're an idiot." I said, you're going to be in no shape to preach the day after you do a wedding. You need to let me preach." He said, "Well, I'm doing this series on generosity." I said, "There's nothing I'd rather talk to people about more than the subject of generosity." So if you'll open your Bibles and you'll take out your message notes, I want to talk to you this weekend about seeing giving as an eternal investment. I want you to see giving as an eternal investment. Now, this isn't my idea. It's God's idea. On your outline, Matthew 6, 19 and 20, Jesus says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven." I want you to circle that. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now circle the phrase "for yourselves." Did you know it is possible to store up treasure in heaven? And it says "for yourselves," not "for God." It says "for yourselves." Now, don't ever bank on anything, the Bible says, that can be destroyed, in other words, eaten by moths, can be depreciated, rusted by time, or can be depleted, stolen by others. Now, it's interesting, it says, store up instead treasure in heaven. That phrase is used in the Bible 5 times. Now, anytime God says something 5 times, he says, "I want you to understand this. You can store up treasure in heaven. You can make deposits in the bank of eternity, and you can do it for yourselves. It's your personal account." Now, the Bible teaches us a couple things. You might write these down. First, the Bible teaches that I will enjoy forever what I invest in heaven. I will enjoy forever what I invest in heaven. People say you can't take it with you. That's true, but you can send it on ahead. And you can send it on ahead by investing in people who are going there. How do you do that? Well, the Bible tells us there on your outline, 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18 says this: "Tell those who are rich," by the way, that's everybody who's listening. If you live in America, if you're the poorest of the poor, you're rich compared to the world standards. If you have any money in your pocket right now, you're wealthier than 95% of the people in the world. They don't even have any money in their pocket. If you have a checkbook, if you have a bank account, you're wealthier than 95% of the people in the world. So it says, "Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their pride and trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Circle the word enjoyment. Did you know the Bible says God gives everything to us for our enjoyment? Then it says, tell them to use their money to do good. Now, notice it says money is to be used. We are to love people and use money. Now, if you get that reversed, you're going to be in trouble, because if you start loving money, you're going to use people. The Bible says, no, you love people and you use money, and you use it to do good. And the second thing the Bible teaches is not only that we'll enjoy forever whatever we invest in eternity in heaven, but number two, I invest in heaven every time I use my money for good. I invest in heaven every time I use my money for good. I want you to see giving in a whole new light this weekend. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19, it says this, they should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be, here's that phrase again, storing up real treasures for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. That's out of the Living Bible, New Living Translation. It says we store up treasure in heaven by using our money to do good. Now, if you've ever talked with a financial planner, any financial planner is going to tell you, don't ever put all your eggs in one what? Basket. Yeah. You should spread your money around. You should invest. Any financial planner say the same thing to do is to spread your money around and invest in different funds. You need what they call a balanced investment portfolio. Don't put all your money in one investment, but split it up. Did you know that's true spiritually? God wants you to use your money not in one way, not in two ways, not in three, not in four, but God wants you to use your money five different ways. There are five different kinds of giving. Now, if you've read the book Purpose Driven Life, you know that the Bible teaches there are five purposes for our life: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. God wants us to know him and love him. God wants us to love his family. He wants us to grow in him. He wants us to serve him, and he wants us to share him. God put us on this planet to do these five things. And the Bible says that money is a tool. We are to use money to fulfill God's purposes in our lives. So what I want you to do this weekend is to think of these five purposes God has for your life, these five purposes, as five investment funds, and that you can take some of your money and put it in each of these funds, spreading your investment dollars around as you store up treasure for yourselves in eternity. Now, let me say this. Over the last years, a lot of investment funds on earth haven't done that good. They've gone backwards. They've gone downhill. People have lost money. But in God's investment strategy, these five funds are proven, they are protected, they are risk-free, and they yield dividends and benefits for eternity. You will never, ever have the kind of investment opportunities like you have with God's five investment funds. So let's look at these together today, what the scripture says. Now, God's first purpose for your life is for you to learn to love him. And the Bible says God wants you to love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Now, the word for loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength in the Bible is called worship. And that's the first purpose of your life. You were planned for God's pleasure. You were made to know God and to love God. God knows you and loves everything about you, even unconditionally, and God wants you to learn to know and love him back. We call that worship. Now, the first fund that you can use your money to invest in is what I call the treasury fund, because the Bible says store up treasure in heaven, and the Bible says that where your money is, your treasure is. So how do I invest in the treasury fund? Well, you might write this down. I invest in eternity every time I use my money to worship God. That is the highest and best use of your money. When I use my money to worship God, I am investing in the treasury fund. Let's look at some verses. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord by giving him the leftovers of all your income. Oh, sorry, it doesn't say that, does it? That's the reviled substandard perversion of that verse. No, it says honor the Lord by giving him the what? First part, circle that, the first part of all your income. And it says, and he will fill your barns and overflow your barrels. Now, the Bible calls this giving your first part back to God. The Bible calls that tithing. Tithe means 10% or 1/10. And when I tithe, I give 10% back to God. Anything I give above that amount is called an offering. But 10%, the first 10% going back to God, is called a tithe. And we call that the treasury fund. Do you remember all the cheesy gifts you gave to your parents growing up as a little kid? And you'd make things, and they weren't very good, and you couldn't afford really nice gifts, and you'd give them to them. But your parents were still touched, even though they were kind of not very good gifts. They were kind of cheesy gifts. I remember one time at 8 years old, I bought a dress for my wife, for my mom, for 25 cents. And when she died, I found that dress still in her locker or her chest that had all of her most precious belongings. It was only a quarter that I'd paid for in a used clothing store. But because I'd given it to her out of love, it meant so much to her. That's the way God feels when you tithe. God doesn't need your money, but he wants what it represents. And the Bible says that giving an offering brings pleasure to God, and it's the ultimate act of worship. And we should never leave our money for anything else until first we've given back to God out of gratitude for the past, out of faith in the future, and out of setting my priorities today. Why? Matthew 6:21. Look at that verse. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I really don't care much about Microsoft stock because I don't have any money invested in it. But if I want to get interested in something in a company, I put some money into it. If you want to care about Apple stock, buy some Apple stock, and all of a sudden you'll care about whether the company's doing good or bad. Johnson & Johnson or IBM or any other company, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where you put your money is where your heart is going to go. So let me ask you this very important question. Where is your heart? The answer is wherever your treasure is. If you put your money in a boat, your treasure is in your boat. If you put your money in a big house, your treasure is in your house. If you put your money in God, your treasure is in God. Where do you want your heart to be? Let me ask that. Where do you want your heart to be? Well, you say, I want to be close to God. Well, then put your money there. You know, every time I feel distant from God, I give an offering. It's just one of the ways it draws me closer, moves me closer to him. I grow closer to God every time I tithe as an act of worship. I love this verse in Job 22:24-25. Give up your lust for money, and then the Almighty himself will become your treasure. So the first fund, the first place I put my money is in the treasury fund, and that is my tithe as an act of worship. I give it as an act of worship at the place I worship. I don't tithe the United Way. I don't tithe the charity. I tithe as an act of worship at my place of worship. Now, there's a second fund. And I call this the mutual fund, because the second purpose of your life is not just to love God, but to learn to love other people. Learning to love other people is called fellowship. And the Bible says you were made to be a part of a family of God. You were made to become all that God wants you to be in the fellowship of his family. You were brought into his family, not just to believe in Christ, but to belong. Now, every time I invest money in fellowship, then I'm investing in the mutual fund. So write this down. I invest in eternity every time I use money to encourage fellowship. Every time I use money to encourage fellowship, I'm investing in God's mutual fund. That is the mutual relationships of building relationships. Let me show you some verses. Romans 12:10. Love one another with mutual affection. Circle the word mutual. Romans 12:13. Share what you have with God's people who are in need. Show hospitality. And look at this verse, Hebrews 10:24. Think of ways to encourage one another with outbursts of love and good deeds. He's saying, be creative, be innovative. Think of ways to use your time and your money to build the fellowship of others. Put some thought into it. Now, here's what this means. Anytime you use your money to draw believers closer together, you're actually investing in eternity, in the mutual fund. When you buy somebody a gift in the church family, when you take them out to lunch or dinner, when you buy them a card to encourage them, or a birthday card, or a grief card, or encouragement card, when you provide a meal for somebody in your church family, when you pay for a babysitter for your small group, when you open up your home, when you take somebody to lunch, when you help a small group member financially. Maybe you've never thought about this as giving, but that's a form of giving too. You are giving to the mutual fund to encourage fellowship. Now, why should I use my money to invest in relationships, to encourage fellowship? Well, there are three reasons, and you might write these down. First, the Bible says it actually proves I'm in God's family. 2 Corinthians 9, 12 and 13. This service of giving not only helps the needs of God's people, it also brings many more thanks to God. And it's proof of your faith. The Bible says these Corinthians were giving to help other Christians. And he says it helps the needs of God's people, but it also proves your faith. And he says many people will praise God because you obey the good news of Christ, the gospel you say you believe, and because you believe, you freely share with them. You know, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You spell love, G-I-V-E. God so loved the world that he, what? He gave. And so when you give to help other people in the church family, you're investing in the mutual fund. It proves you're in God's family. Number two, write this down. It creates unity. It draws us closer to God. One of the reasons Saddleback Church is so unified, we are the most generous church in the world. I say that without any fear of being contradiction, because the giving in our small groups and the giving at this church, we have learned to be a very, very generous church, and it creates unity. The Bible says in Psalm 133:1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Let me give you the third reason you ought to invest in the mutual fund. It's a witness to unbelievers. It is a witness to unbelievers. The Bible says when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they're strangers, you make the faith visible. So you want to give to the treasury fund, that's my tithe and worship, and you want to give to the mutual fund, that's helping, using my money to build relationships with other Christians. The third fund you want to invest in is what I call the growth fund. God's third purpose for your life is to grow up spiritually. You were created to become like Christ. God wants you to not stay a spiritual baby, but to grow up. And anytime I invest in my spiritual growth, I'm investing in God's growth fund. Write this down. I invest in eternity every time I use my money to grow my character. Now, maybe you've never thought about this, but it's another form of giving. Proverbs 10:16 says, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives. You need to use your money to grow yourself spiritually. You need to use your money to develop your skills, your talents, your gifts, to become mature, to improve yourself. Now, there are a zillion ways to waste money. We can all agree on that one. Instead of using it to grow. But you're not taking your car to heaven, and you're not taking your clothes to heaven, and you're not taking your condo to heaven, and you're not taking your china to heaven, and you're not taking your couch to heaven, but you are taking your character. So when you invest in yourself to become a better person, to learn more, to grow more, to become more like Christ, you're investing in eternity. You see, we like to spend our money on comfort, but God wants us to spend our money on character. That means when you use your money to buy a Christian book that'll grow your soul, when you use your money to buy a good new Bible and Bible study tools, when you use your money to go to a Christian conference or a retreat or a camp, when you use your money to attend a seminar or to sign up for an educational course or class, you are investing in your growth fund. I remember when I bought my first Bible, it cost me $60, and I'd saved as a teenager for about 6 months for this Bible. And I went without lunches at school, and I went without buying a lot of record albums I could have bought. But you know, today I still have that Bible. I don't have any of those records that I bought when I was a teenager, but I still have that Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, invest in the truth and wisdom, discipline and good sense, and don't part with them. The Message paraphrase of that verse says, buy wisdom, buy education, buy insight. Proverbs 16:16 says, it's better, much better to have wisdom and knowledge than silver or gold. And Isaiah 55:2 says, why do you spend your money on food that doesn't give you strength and does you no good? Listen, and I'll tell you where to get food that's good for the soul. Are you spending your money on junk food instead of soul food? You see, God says, I want you to use some of your money for the growth fund that makes you better, makes you smarter, makes you more spiritual, brings you closer to Christ. Number four, the fourth way to use your money to invest for eternity is what I call God's service fund. And that's the fourth purpose of life. We are to serve God by serving others. You were created to be like Christ, and you were shaped to serve him. Now, I invest in eternity every time I use my money to serve others. Would you write that down? I invest in eternity every time I use my money to serve others. God wants you to take some of your money, not all of it, to serve the needs of others. And the Bible calls this ministry money. When you take money to meet the needs of other people in Jesus' name, to meet their financial needs, to meet their emotional needs, to meet their physical needs. When you use money to feed the hungry, to help the poor, to clothe those who don't have clothes, to serve the sick, when you help the homeless, when you help somebody who's out of work, when you give in as an act of charity, you are investing in the service fund. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2, I love this in the Message paraphrase, be generous, invest in acts of charity, because charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods, spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. Now, there's so many promises in God's word about investing in the service fund, using your money to meet the needs of other people. I'll just read you a couple. Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Or Proverbs 28:27, give to the poor and you'll never be in need. But if you close your eyes to the poor, many will curse you. Did you know that there are more promises in the Bible about giving to the poor than almost anything else? And God says, if you take care of people in need, God will take care of your needs. Proverbs 19:17, when you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, and the Lord will pay you back. Do you realize what that says? God says, when I give to the Lord, I give to people in need, it's like making a loan to Jesus. That is investing in the service equity fund. You're storing up treasure in heaven. Now, there's one more promise, principle that we're to live our lives by and we are to give to, and that's the fifth purpose. The fifth purpose of life is this. You were made for a mission. God has a message he wants you to share with others. He wants us to share the good news with others. Once we know the good news, we're to pass it on. The Bible calls this evangelism. The Bible calls it witnessing. The Bible calls it outreach. The Bible calls it mission. And when you give to share the good news with other people, you are investing in the fifth fund, and I call that the global fund. And the global fund is this. I invest in eternity every time I use my money to bring others to him. I invest in eternity every time I use my money to bring others to him. God wants me to use some of my money, not all of it, for evangelism. God wants me to use some of my money, not all of it, for witnessing, for missions, for the spread of the good news around the world. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 16, verse 9. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, that's got to be one of the strangest verses in the Bible. Look at it again. The Bible says, Jesus is talking, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwelling. What's he talking about there? Well, he's not saying go out and buy a bunch of friends. What he's saying is this: invest in getting people into heaven, so that when you get to heaven, you'll have a welcoming committee and people go, hey, we're glad you're here. We're in heaven because you gave to reach us for Christ. Can you imagine getting to heaven? One day somebody comes up to you and says, I just want to thank you. And you say, I don't even know you. And they say, no, but you were a member of Church of the Highlands. And you prayed and you gave and you sacrificed. And long back there in 2013, you were a faithful tither, a faithful giver. And you helped build that church, Church of the Highlands. And 50 years after you died, that church reached me for Jesus Christ, and I'm in heaven because of you. Will that be worth it? Of course it will. There is no higher use of your money than helping getting people into eternity. So let me ask you a question. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Because of your giving? Because you sacrificed yourself. You didn't buy that TV. You didn't buy that car, whatever, in order to give more to these five different funds. You see, when you save up money to go on a mission trip to somewhere overseas, we call them peace trips at Saddleback because of the peace plan, plant churches, equip leaders, assist the poor, care for the sick, educate the next generation. When you save money to go on a mission trip, or when you save money to send somebody else on a mission trip, you are investing in the global fund. Here at Saddleback Church, 21,869 of my members have gone overseas, paid their own way to go overseas to serve God by planting churches, equipping leaders, assisting the poor, caring for the sick, educating the next generation in 196 countries. We were the first church to go to every nation in the world. Now, we call this the Global Fund because God is interested in the whole world. 3 John 1:8 says we must support believers who go on trips like this so that we can work together with them in spreading the truth. And 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, you honor God through this genuine act of service in your commitment to spread the good news of Christ through your generosity in sharing. Now, let me just end with a little illustration here. Imagine if at the end of this year, they made a rule in America, a new law in America, that we no longer use dollars. That at the end of this year, all of a sudden, America was going to switch currencies, and we were going to switch to the Japanese yen. What would you do if you knew that at the end of this year, all your dollars would be worthless? Well, it'd be real simple. You'd take as much of your money as you could right now and convert it into Japanese yen. And you would only leave enough for you to live on the rest of the year until the end of the year, a minimum, because knowing that whatever you hadn't converted was going to be wasted the moment you passed that date. Because you would be investing on the other side, which you'd know, well, I want to have that for the rest of time. Well, the same thing is true here. One day you're going to die. And you're going to go and you're going to stand before God. You're going to go to heaven. All the money that you spent on yourself here on the things that don't last, you're leaving here. But the money that you have invested by giving to the Treasury Fund, tithing as an act of worship, and the Mutual Fund, building the fellowship of my church, and the Growth Fund, using money to help myself and my family grow spiritually, and the Service Fund, using money to meet the needs of others, and the Global Fund, using my money to spread the good news, that's all going to be converted, and you get to enjoy that the rest of eternity. That's called storing up treasure in heaven. Now, let me just say this. If your treasure is here on earth, and you're buying things here on earth, every day of your life, you're moving further and further away from your treasure, because you're not taking any of that with you to heaven. On the other hand, if your treasure is in heaven, every day you're moving closer and closer to that treasure. You know, my wife Kay and I have been investing in these funds all our lives. In fact, 38 years ago, Kay and I made a commitment that every year we would increase our giving. And the first year that we got married, 38 years ago, we began to tithe, the first 10% to God. At the end of our first year of marriage, we raised our tithe to 11%. The end of our second year, we raised our giving to 12%. At the end of our third year of marriage, we raised it 3%, and on and on. And on years that we'd have a bonus or a good year or get a raise, we'd raise our giving 3 or 4%. And on years that we were you know, barely making ends meet, we couldn't afford anything, the cupboard was bare, we'd still raise our giving 0.25%. Why? Because I wanted to be more generous every year of my life. Kay and I wanted our hearts to grow. Every time I give, I break the grip of materialism in my life. Every time I give, I become more like Jesus. Every time I give, my heart grows bigger. And I've been investing in these funds for now 50 years. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy the returns for eternity. I want you to be a part of that. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose." If you will begin to invest in all five of these funds by giving in five different areas, it will radically change your life. You'll be more joyful here on earth, but you'll be more blessed in eternity because you have been storing up treasure in heaven. I want us to bow our heads right now. Would you bow your heads with me? And I'm going to pray a simple prayer. First, if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, you're going to need to do that. You need to say, "Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I want to give my life to you. I want to get to know you. I want to learn to serve you. I want to learn to love you. I ask you to forgive my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and make me the person you want me to be. I cannot save myself, God. I need you to save me." Just say in your heart, say, "Lord, me too." That prayer Rick just prayed, that's me. I'm going to say, "Jesus Christ, save me and change me." Now, most of you, you've already prayed that prayer, but I'm going to ask you to pray the prayer of a new investment. Say, "God, help me to begin to spend my money not on things that don't last, but to invest my money in eternity. Help me to balance my giving by giving to honor you through worship, by giving to build the fellowship of other believers, by giving to grow spiritually, by giving to serve people in need, and by giving to spread the good news." Just say, "Dear God, I want to be a purpose-driven giver, and I want to begin giving in all five of these areas so that I may be storing up treasure in heaven." You know, with our heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, God heard you. If you have invited Christ into your life for the first time, He just saved you. I'm going to ask, with our heads bowed, the campus pastors, each of our campuses, to come on stage so that they can see what I'm about to ask. If you just a minute ago said, "I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life for the very first time," would you just quickly raise your hand up in the air? Nobody looking around. I just want the campus pastors to see those of you who are inviting Jesus into your life today. God bless you. God bless you. Just raise your hand. "I'm giving my life to Christ today." Others of you, you're saying, "Rick, I already know the Lord. Starting today, I want to become a purpose-driven giver. I want to begin to give for eternity. I want to give my life into the things that matter, and I want to use my money for the purposes of God." If you'd say, "I'm making that commitment today to become the kind of giver God wants me to become a generous person," would you just raise your hand right now? Okay, just quickly, every heads are bowed. God bless you. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to turn the service over to your campus pastor. Father, I thank you for these in faith who I know will have raised their hands today. I thank you, Lord, for those who are coming to you for the very first time, and for those of you who are taking a step of spiritual maturity to say, "I want not just my life, but my money to bring glory to God." I know you're going to bless them, not just here on earth, but for eternity. And I ask you to give them the courage to follow on their commitment. And I pray a blessing on them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wasn't that good? Man, praise the Lord. I tell you, I get more of it every time I watch that thing. It's just some awesome truth. And people responded to that altar call. Hands went up all over. And at the end of the service, we're going to have a prayer team up front. If you raised your hand to commit your life to the Lord, we'd like to pray with you. We've got a little booklet we'd like to give you to help you in your Christian life. And if you don't have a Bible, we want you to come up. We want to give you a Bible, put your name in it. And I thank God for all of us that raise our hand, just committed to up our giving as a giving lifestyle. I just love those five different funds that he talked about. You know, I never really put it like that. Just even investing in my own character, you know, buying a Christian book, that's investing in heaven because I'm doing that to get closer to Christ. When you give to the homeless or you give to Haiti and all these different ways, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. Think about that. People that are going to be in heaven because of you, because you gave, you might say, well, you know, I've never really been good at witnessing. I've never really led anybody to the Lord. You know what? When you're giving in these offerings in Victory Church, and then people raise their hand, over 1,800 people in the last 15 years, that's someone you led to the Lord. When Mike's out on campus, like he did last year, led a foreign student to the Lord, that's your soul that's going to be waiting for you in heaven. We're laying up treasure in heaven. I just love that concept of, like, the yen, of thinking about the current currency is going to be gone. It's true. This earth is going to be gone. What are we laying up in heaven? That was just so encouraging to me. I love that message. Praise the Lord. Well, our ushers are going to come up in just a minute or two to receive our tithes and offerings. There should be an offering envelope on a seat back in front of you. And